Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Stevenson. My guest today is the lovely William Whittaker. He's an international show jumper, member of Team Great Britain, but you'll know the Whittaker name because his uncles have been show jumping for years. They are British show jumping heritage. There's so much to William. He talks very openly about his family growing up, his first ever pony that he rode and competed, and what the future holds for him. You'll be able to catch William at Bolesworth International from the 14th to the 18th of June. But here's William sharing his story of his equestrian career. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I am really, really excited because today we have a guest who I watched jump at the Royal Windsor Horse Show. He's super successful. It is William Whittaker. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good, thank you. You are 4 years younger than me, Will, and you're doing incredibly well. When I look back at your history, I mean, we've kind of grown up together. I'd like to say in the same lives, but, you know, totally different because I'm rubbish at riding. But, like, take this for example. When you were 10, you jumped your first British show jumping course, didn't you? And you won?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I remember it well, actually. It was on a pony I had that we just bought, very local actually. It was bought for me by my mum's dad, my grandpa. And to be honest, to say that my name Whittaker is very associated with show jumping, we didn't really know what we were doing. To be honest, we just kind of went to the show and just tried to jump the jumps on this little pony that we bought, and yeah, it worked out well. Yeah, more luck than good judgment, really.
That's really interesting because, you know, part of your family, you've got John Whittaker and Michael Whittaker, who are your uncles, but your dad, he's not a rider, is he?
No, he's not, no. He rode until he was like 21, 22-year-old, but then when I've asked him before, he said he never really gave up. He just kind of just got busy with other things, really. He wasn't really earning any money at show jumping, so then he started a milk round, got busy with that, and then he bought another milk round, and, you know, then in the end he just didn't have time to ride. He was busy with other things, so he did ride when he was younger, but didn't ride anymore. It was my mum that found the pony, and then my grandpa, he bought it for me, yeah. My mum's dad, so Johnny, he was called. It was a really good. It actually turned out to be a really good. It won at Horse of the Year show in the 138s.
Wow!
And stuff like that. So yeah, so that was. It's kind of lucky, really, that we found a pony that we didn't pay much money for from just down the road, and it turned out to be a really good one. So yeah, we were lucky in that sense.
It's amazing. Did you train him when you were that young?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think how old he was when we bought him. He'd obviously done a few shows with the previous owners, just unaffiliated and stuff like that. And it was just through a friend of my mum's that we kind of got in contact. Yeah, and then no one knew how good he was going to turn out to be. Yeah, and we sort of just developed together, really. There was nothing technical about it. We just sort of went to the show and, yeah, it just kind of happened.
like us normal people, go to shows. We don't have a clue what we're doing. I remember my mum telling me she tells me for years she doesn't ride now because she's too afraid. She went hunting once. It scared the life out of her. The horse took off and that was it. She was 13 and went, no more for me. And when we have family, you know, family meals and stuff, my grandparents always saying, we didn't know. We just used to rock up at shows. We'd have one horse bolting Copper, it was called. Copper would bolt one way. Saxon would bolt the other way. And they never dressed. They never had the right outfits. But it was a good day out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I know how they feel.
So how did you get from that then? Did you always know that show jumping was what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I've always been into show jumping. Like every year I used to go, from when I was very young, to Olympia. We used to go as a family to Olympia on sort of a, you know, like a mini Christmas holiday to watch my uncle's ride. And I always used to love going there. And I can remember coming home and getting, because we always had a pony at home, even from when I was very young. Peter Pan was that one was called, but it didn't really jump. But I can remember I used to go home and from Olympia and tack that pony up and start trying to ride like them around the field at home. So that was kind of when I decided that, you know, we would like to buy another pony and start to do some shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think like we said before, the fact that the other pony, the 13-2 Mystic Starlight Express, it was called. The fact that that turned out to be a good pony and won classes from the beginning kind of gave me that taste for winning a class. And then once I won one class, I wanted to win another class and I wanted to ride better. Yeah, and it just kind of all snowballed from there, really.
So did you not drag your uncles home and say, come on, give me a hand, like, give me some lessons?
The more I used to, because like when I was at school, I went on work experience. When I did my work experience, I went 1 week to John's and 1 week to Michael's.
to make it fair.
Yeah, but it was quite funny actually. It was like a bit of a standing joke in the family that if ever I took one of my ponies to John or Michael's for a bit of training, I always fell off.
Oh,
always.
Really?
Yeah, always. In the end, every time Dad mentioned, oh, we'll go up to, he used to say, oh, we'll go up to John's and he can give you a jump. I used to think, oh, oh no, not again.
Put on the back projector.
Yeah, but to be honest, all the way through, Stephen as well, Ellen's dad, he helped me quite a lot in the beginning, you know, obviously because John and Michael were always basically never at home. They were always away at shows. Yeah, so Stephen as well helped me quite a bit in the beginning. So yeah, to be honest, I've been lucky to have some good trainers around me.
You've got good support, but I should imagine, you know, I've been lucky enough to meet them a couple of times and they're very down to earth. And I can imagine them saying, you've got to find your own way, William, as well. You know, we can't do it for you.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that they teach as well. Sort of they offer, instead of telling you how to do something, they offer their advice and leave you to find your own path, really. That was like, because I was based... I rode for Michael for 5 years, so, you know, obviously worked very closely with him. And that was always the way that he kind of did it. He offered me his advice, told me what he thought and his experiences in certain situations, and then kind of, yeah, sent me on my way with three horses to a show and...
and said good luck.
Yeah, I had to get on with it, yeah.
So what was it like then? At 10, you won the Horse of the Year show. You went to watch Olympia. And then exactly 10 years later, you won the Puissance.
It was a bit crazy, really. Especially the Puissance. The first year I won it, it was a bit surreal because it was just kind of a bit, you know, we hadn't trained. To be honest, we never went to the show with a plan to jump the Puissance with that horse. It was just a bit of a spontaneous idea from Michael. Because that's when
really?
That's when I was riding for Michael. At the time, the horse Leonardo, he was called. He was always a very scopy, bold horse. Yeah, and we felt that he needed a bit more experience going in that ring at Olympia. So Michael said, "Try him in the Puissance. He should jump it. He's bold. He can jump. So give it a go." And ended up winning.
It's incredible. The Puissance always looks so super scary, and you can hardly imagine. It's so high, you can hardly imagine anyone getting over it. I mean, you must have just been elated each time he jumped it.
Yeah, it was funny. Like when I watched the video back, you could see he was inexperienced. He didn't really know how to deal with the how to jump the wall. You know, first time he went a little bit quick, or I'm saying he, me as well, probably rode a bit quick. And then second time, I was maybe a bit far off. And then you could see by the fifth round, he'd really got the hang of it. And he actually jumped the biggest one. I can't remember how big it was now. I think it was like 220 or something like that. He jumped the biggest one, the best, yeah, to win. Yeah, last to go. And just the circumstances as well. I remember it was on BBC. It was live on BBC Two as well. So I had all my schoolmates ringing me who didn't even, you know, and stuff like that. It was, yeah, it was really good. Really, really good.
Oh, it must be quite emotional. I get emotional just being there, you know, from watching it as a youngster to then be in that environment after watching your uncles as well and wanting to do it. What does it take, really, do you think, for a horse to be a good puissance horse?
They obviously need to be really brave, because, you know, when it gets to the big heights, they can't see what's on the other side. So they've got to trust the rider. They've got to trust the rider that they're not jumping into, you know, jumping off a cliff or whatever, you know. So, yeah, they need to be very, very brave and very scopy.
Is there anything that you do, like, do you go hunting? Do you go cross country? Are there any things that you do that actually help your show jumping?
I've never been hunting ever in my life. It's on my to-do list. But what
just because those guys are crazy. I mean, they're so brave.
Yeah, they are,
to just go out galloping. This isn't massive about hedges. Fox hunting. This is about, you know, going over the massive hedge. I'd be going in the, you know, apparently there are gates that you can go around if you're not brave enough.
Yeah, that'd definitely be me. Yeah. I'd be like, you go, I'll catch you up. No, I like to keep my training mixed, really, of what I do. I do quite a lot of hacking and fitness work that way. Flat work on a general week, I do flat work 3 or 4 times a week. The horses go in the field a lot, depending a lot on the schedule as well. Like the younger horses, we would jump a bit more because they need to learn and get experience at home. Whereas the older horses, we do it as more of just to keep them fit and well in the bodies. So yeah, that's kind of how we work, really.
Well, you've recently moved out to Belgium, so you're no longer in the UK. How many horses have you taken with you?
I've got 3 horses that I've brought from England, and then I'm riding the stables where I am. I'm riding for a guy called Ludwig Creel, who owns the stable here, and he has probably around 15 horses here in Belgium, and I ride probably around 8 of them.
Okay, do you get to compete them as well?
Yeah, I compete them as well, yeah.
Oh, nice.
The horses I had in Windsor, yeah, they were both from him, yeah. Oh, wow. So, yeah, it's quite a new thing. I've only been here since September. But, yeah, it seems to be going well, and I've got some very nice horses from him, and also was lucky to be able to bring my horses from home.
What about your wife and kids? Were you allowed to bring them too?
I know, yeah, that's a bit of a tough one, really. Obviously, they could come, but Bella, my little girl, she's 5 now, so she's in school. So it's a bit of a tough one, really. They're at the moment, they're still in England because she's busy with school and she's settled in school. So it was a bit of a new thing for me. I didn't want to, just rush and move them out of school straight away, especially when they were settled. So at the moment,
we forget about that. You know, you're a working dad. And a working dad, it's like you're in the military or you're a pilot. You're away a lot. You just have to, I guess, get home as much as you can.
Yeah, it is. It can be tough sometimes. It can be tough. But yeah, like I try and get home as much as possible. And we're lucky now in England. We do get quite a lot of good shows. For instance, Windsor, and then we've got Ballsworth and the 2 Hicksteads coming up. So that they'll be down there as well. So that'll be nice. But yeah, it is. It's tough. But I would prefer to do it that way than to rush into things when, you know, Bella and Oliver are involved. At least I know at home they're settled and she's very settled in school. So, yeah, that's the way around. That's the way around we decided to do it.
And you're lucky that your wife, Elizabeth, is very supportive.
Yeah, she is extremely supportive. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm very lucky in that department.
Picked a good un.
yeah.
Is she into horses? Does she ride?
Yeah, she did, yeah. We met, actually. She's Swedish, because she's from Sweden, and we met.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
At a horse show in Italy, I think about 8 or 9 years ago now. Yeah, and then she actually came to train at Michael's when I was there, so that was kind of the next step in the relationship. And it went from there, really. We were together for a while, and yeah, then we had kids and we got married, and yeah, it's...
So you've done so much, and what are you, 27, 28?
27, yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, at least she understands it. She'll be more understanding because she's been in the industry.
Yeah,
herself,
absolutely. Yeah, that's. I could imagine if you was, you know, that's why I sympathise with these couples, especially for our job. You know, any job in the equestrian, it's like 24/7, isn't it? You have to live and breathe it. So yeah, I was lucky to find someone who lives and breathes it as well.
And what about Bella? Have you got her into horses?
Yeah, she's got two ponies actually already. She's only five. she enjoys riding. I mean, we don't put any pressure on her, just what she wants to do. But she goes for riding lessons most Saturdays, and she's got a pony at home. So yeah, she likes grooming. She might be a groom, I think. She likes grooming.
She's a girl. She likes making them look pretty.
Yeah, yeah. She spends an hour and a half brushing and tucking up, and then rides for about 10 minutes.
Oh, bless her. Well, just going back to your riding then. Last year, amazing year. You won Hickstead.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I had a really, really good year last year. Like a lot of changes. But yeah, it was amazing to win the Derby at Hickstead. I'd been trying for a few years and come close, but not quite won. So to get the win last year, it was really, really special.
So fingers crossed for this year then. Is there anything, I don't know, have you got extra training going on? Because it's difficult. Once you've won it, it's like, oh, is it added pressure or less pressure?
To be honest, I try not to think about it. I just go about the way what we did, try and prepare as best we can, make sure the horse is as fit and as well as possible. Yeah, and just concentrate on getting the job done again.
Are you going back to using the same horses you used?
Yeah, yeah.
What was he called? He was
called... Glenavardra Brilliant, he was called. Max.
A nice name.
Max, as we call him. It's a bit easier.
Yeah. Are you taking Max with you?
He's here in Belgium, actually, at the moment, is Max. He's been in England through the winter. He had a rest. And then my brother James has been riding him in some shows. He's actually been going very well. He was sixth in the Grand Prix, in a Young Rider Grand Prix last week with James here in Belgium.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And then kept him here in Belgium. And he will go to Hamburg next week for a show there. And then he'll go back to England to get ready for the Derby.
So you don't actually spend that much time with him then before you get there?
No, not really, no. To be honest, my brother's done all the preparation work with him. You know, now I've moved out here. To be honest, it was very settled, the horse at home. So we decided that would be the best thing for him. Because he's a big horse, but he's quite sensitive. So we felt keeping him at home in England, yeah, keeping him at the yard in England would be the best way for him.
And there's no rivalry between you and James? Because if that was me and my brother, if I'd spent months training the horse, I'd be like, no, go away, I'm going to jump it.
Yeah, I could understand. I could fully understand, because I'd be the same if he got that way. But luckily, he's very supportive. And to be honest, he's done a really good job with him so far. So So yeah, good. probably better than what I would have done, to be honest.
So. So what was Royal Windsor like then? It was only a few weeks ago. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I was surprised, actually. It was an absolutely brilliant show. Credit to the organisers and everyone involved.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's huge.
To be honest, it's got better. I think, I'm just trying to think when the last time I went. I didn't go last year. I think it was the year before. And then I think I went 2 or 3 years previous to that. And to be honest, every year it's just got better and better. There's been improvements every year. With the facilities and the prize money and the star of the show. This year was a 5-star. So yeah, to be honest, I was really impressed. And we got some top riders from abroad over, which is always great. So yeah, it was very, very good.
And did you get to meet the Queen?
I didn't actually. My other brother George did.
Did he?
Yeah, he got to meet her, yeah. I saw her from a distance.
I put on Facebook that I had tea with the Queen. I had a cup of tea whilst I was watching her and give everybody a presentation.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So what had George done then to get to meet her?
It was just, to be honest, it was just, I don't really know. I actually don't. He just said to me when I was at home, he said, oh yeah, I got to meet the Queen. I was like, what? Got to really meet her, like shake her hand and everything. He was like, yeah. Yeah,
I loved her. I love the fact that she was carrying her own umbrella when it was raining.
I thought that as well. I noticed that. Amazing. God, if I was king, I'd definitely have an umbrella holder.
Yeah, it would be James.
Yeah, ride my horse and also hold my umbrella.
Well, it's so exciting, you know, that your career already is just been incredible. What else have you got going on this year?
It's we're very busy. Like, we're getting into a really busy time of the year now. We've pretty much got shows every weekend till September. So it's
really? Do you not get a break?
Not really, to be honest. Like, now, if we got, like, I went on holiday at the beginning of this year, which was nice, with the kids and stuff. For a week, but pretty much from now it gets really busy. So, and as you can imagine, it really takes some coordinating, getting the horses here, there and everywhere, and making sure we've got enough people to help and everything. So yeah, we've got a busy few months ahead. We've got some Nations Cup shows coming up, which I'm very excited about. And yeah, still like I said, I've only been at this stable since September, so still building a relationship with some of the horses and, trying to improve,
just
really.
Just keep going. So the level then that you've got up to now at the Royal Windsor Horse Show?
It was 5-star at Windsor this year, yeah.
But did you jump the same... So did you jump in the same classes as Michael and John?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What was that like, competing against them?
Yeah, it's good, yeah. It's really good. It's nice. It's always nice, especially at home, on home turf, you know. When John and Michael are there, it's good because you feel, I don't know really, you feel that you've kind of got someone there to talk to if you need anything. Yeah, but when you get in the ring, they're just like any other competitor, you know, you've got to try and beat them.
That's true. Well, you guys, you know, as a family, I've been looking at articles and things and they're saying it's the Whittaker dynasty.
Yeah, the dynasty, yeah. They love that one, the Whittaker dynasty, yeah.
It's like we're watching Dallas. But as a family, you know, you're really tight-knit. Your heritage in the show jumping world, like I said, I watched your uncles growing up. It was always, they were the ones that you watched. And I think it's lovely that you guys can actually train together, compete together, and actually enjoy that experience. Because there aren't that many sports that you can do, a whole family can do together.
No, definitely not. And for such a long time as well, you know. Mm. Like, I mean, John and Michael have been at the top of our sport now for all my life anyway. So to kind of grow up with them as my idols and then to work with them and then to start competing against them, it's kind of when you're doing it, you kind of don't notice it happening. But when you look back and think about, you know, how you've progressed over the years, it's, you know, and it's what we were aiming for. It's what we're aiming for when I was on ponies and young riders. So to get to that level, it's always nice. But you never really feel like you've got to the level. You always feel like, for me anyway, that I need to keep improving and keep getting better every time I get on the horse, yeah.
What would be your ultimate, like your I've done the most that I can possibly do now?
I don't know if you ever do get to that stage, really, because like you'd think John would have got to that stage and
years ago.
Yeah, but you can if you just you keep working with the horses you've got, trying to win, trying to improve the horses you've got, trying to improve yourself. Well, for me anyway. And I know for John as well, it's one of his sayings is like that it's amazing with horses, you never stop learning. Even him at his age and his experience, you'd think there can't be much more to learn, but there is plenty.
Well, fascinatingly, I've just literally recorded an interview with Professor Sue Dyson at the Animal Health Trust.
Oh, yeah.
And they've released this new study that she's done, which shows that you can tell if a horse is in pain by their facial expressions.
Oh, is that right?
Which is amazing. So we are always learning. There's always new things coming out all the time, not only our riding and how we look after our horses, but actually, I think I'm so passionate about horses. Horse geek over here. But we're learning about them as animals and their breeds, and there's always things to learn. But ultimately, I mean, is there a competition that you'd like to win that would be your huge goal? I mean, to go to the Olympics, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's my main goal. I think it would be most people's, goal, professionals' goal anyway, to go to the Olympics and to win a gold medal like Nick did, like we all watched Nick and Big Star do, which was amazing. So yeah, that would definitely be my sort of main goal, if you like. Yeah.
Well, we'll all be there rooting for you. Well,
thank you.
I'll
very
be there
much.
in the sidelines with some pom poms. Thank you so much for joining us on the Horse Hour podcast. Can we follow you on Twitter and see what you get up to?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I post as much as possible as I can on there, what my horses and my team have been doing, what we're getting up to and where we're going. Also on Instagram and Facebook.
What's your Twitter handle?
At WillWit89.
Perfect. And then Facebook as well, because you put lots of videos on there.
Yeah, Facebook is William Whittaker Official, and Instagram, I think that's just William Whittaker. I'm not sure.
Amazing. Just because, we love to see what you're getting up to and where you are and how you're doing. And hopefully you and I can catch up at Hickstead.
Definitely, yeah.
Fingers crossed for you. We'll be there taking photos and watching the competition.
Yeah, but, definitely, yeah.
It's exciting. Thank you so much. And we will speak to you very soon.
No problem at all. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with the lovely William Whittaker. Next week, you can hear Professor Sue Dyson. She's been conducting research with the Animal Health Trust that asks the question, is your horse naughty or is he actually in pain? Well, the answer is written all over his face. Quite often, we see our horses with their ears back, their tongues hanging out, they could be squinting their eyes. We don't actually know what those signs mean. Well, Sue and the Animal Health Trust are on a mission to help vets and owners recognise pain in ridden horses so that we can help the horses before it's too late. And Sue's going to explain what the signs are, how she put the study together, and how it's going to help us really understand our horses' health and what they're trying to tell us with their expressions. As always, you can catch up with previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk, and I love seeing your photos and your videos of what you're getting up to. Competition season's here. A lot of you are doing really well, and some of you are competing for the first time. So I hope you enjoy having that time with your horse. Do share with us on Twitter. We're at Horse Hour. I'm at Amy Stevenson 1, and we're on Facebook and Instagram too. Hope you have a great week with your horse, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag HorseHour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.